contrast. I'm sure that if you thought of different places where you've had sharp contrast. Now, I know some of you have traveled to Israel, and I never thought I would ever go to Israel. I was planning to get there in the new millennium, but I actually got there a little earlier. So it was just a gift from the Lord, so I thank the Lord for that. But one of the things that caught my attention was the contrast. We were being riding in a bus, and you would see what was true wilderness, just dry, barren rock. And then you go just a little bit further, and there would be this beautiful field, green, growing, amazing. You think, did I just see what I thought I saw? It just seems so drastically different. Contrast. You know, we think of light and darkness. One of those, you know, one of the nights you've driven through and there's no moonlight and it's just so dark. And then maybe in the morning when you're driving, you're going into the sun and it's so bright you cannot see a thing. Light and darkness. Well, we want to go to another contrast tonight that the Lord gives us. And it is again in Romans 5, and it is the amazing contrast between the free gift and the fatal transgression. It makes all the difference, this contrast. It's all the difference in a person's life. So let's go to this passage in Romans 5, and I want to pick up the passage that we ended with this morning in verse 15, and then we'll follow down. And notice it, when we enter into the door, it has these two things in stark contrast. But the free gift, verse 15, is not like the transgression. The free gift, the transgression. They're totally different. For if by the transgression of the one many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Now we'll come back to the following of that, Lord willing, in a moment. I just want to review just a little bit. I love this verse, by the way. The free gift is not like the transgression. The free gift. I don't believe we mentioned this morning. Obviously, free gift is it goes back to the concept of grace. The word charis is the word for grace in the New Testament, and this word here is built on that word. It could be called a grace gift, or a free gift, God's gift, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Grace is so amazing. As we said this morning, we don't deserve it. We can't earn it. It's so contrary, by the way, to man's thoughts. In man's thought, in the general scheme of things, I can earn something. I can achieve something. And of course, God gives us certain abilities to achieve certain things. But even what we achieve ultimately goes back to the Lord, if it's of the Lord. But this is a gift of grace. It's a free gift, and it's not like the transgression. The transgression is a falling alongside, as one writes, a deviation from the right path. A deviation from the right path. I was talking to two of my neighbors last week, I guess, and one of them has driven taxi. And we were just talking about roads, and I'm not sure how we even got there, but we just chit-chatting. He said to the other neighbor and myself, he says, now, there's a street that's close by. He says, now, you watch that. In the wintertime, if it's slick, you slow down because it's coming right off the 7. And people are going fairly fast. And you're coming off 7, you take the exit to get to where we live. and it's close by. And so you, he said, but watch that. Watch that. If that's a little slick, he says, people, and he, of course, he knows the roads, people will hit that coming down. They think they're doing fine. And all of a sudden, they'll slip right off. And he said, and you'll roll. I never thought about that. That seemed to me to be the most calm, easy turn in the world. But then I was looking at it. I was paying attention, right? The next day, I was looking at that. And I thought to myself, you know what? That you're coming off that. You're going faster than you normally would be going. And you're making this right turn. And then I looked over. I never noticed. There's quite a ways down. If you slipped on that thing and you hit that edge, you would likely roll. You could have a devastating disaster thinking it's just simple. It's nothing. It's no big deal. But that would be to deviate from the path to disaster. And that's exactly what transgression is to go off the road, God's road. And this transgression is a huge deal. I don't think we get it. I mean, I'm sure I don't get it. To be in rebellion against the awesome, sovereign, loving God of the universe. Remember this morning, you know, Adam, you know, he had all these wonderful options. And he, of all things, he picked the one option that was the most disastrous for all humanity for all time. The one transgression. It's not like free grace. It's not like the faulty, fatal transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many, and one commentator states, the great mass of mankind, all men, can you imagine if there's something we could do that would affect all men? I mean, we might affect our family, we might affect our church, we might affect even Peterborough. But all men? Adam did something that affected every one of us and everyone in the whole world. It's overwhelming. What a tragedy. I mean, this puts Hitler's Holocaust, it minimizes it when we think of Adam's choice. Now, again, I don't want to stay here too long, but I just want us to, we need this for the context. The free gift is not like the transgression, but if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more, and this is a wonderful phrase, much more did the grace of God and the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The grace of God, and notice the grace of God, much more. One godly writer of the past said, the apostle shows that Christ's work not only goes just as deep, but that the work of Christ goes deeper and vastly greater than the work of Adam. He indicates three times, using this phrase, much more the grace of God that we just read in 15, much more abundance of grace in verse 17, and grace did much more abound in verse 20. So it's much more, it's exceedingly more. He's trying to highlight, he's trying to drive it home to us. This is far beyond the transgression, the gift of grace. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. This, and then in this gift, we get the gift of, by the grace, the gift of grace, and it brings the gift of grace, the gift by the grace of one man. And again, remember this morning we talked about the one man. One is a big deal in this passage. Adam, Christ. Two men, pivotal of all history. The one man, Jesus Christ, the grace of God, the gift by grace, abounded to the many. It was in abundance. It was overflowing. I love the picture that of something in abundance, something that's beyond. It just keeps on coming. And it is the abundance, the gift by the grace of the to abound to the many. So the transgression was tragic, but the provision is awesome. It's so overflowing. It's wonderful. Wonderful. I was thinking of, we drive past it often. If you're going to the Bancroft, you drive past it where you go into Burley Falls and you see a lot of times the water's coming through, right? I always think it's so pretty. It's just, it's just kind of just overflow coming through. Now, that's just a small little thing, but think if we got a bus up and we'll let Jim drive and we go down to Niagara Falls. And then the water's overflowing, right? God's grace is overflowing. And it is so wonderful. I think it's one of the most wonderful hymns, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. It's amazing. It's also overflowing grace. How sweet. It's precious to us. Precious. Of course, John Newton knew about that because he realized he was in the line of the transgression, right? And he moved to the line of grace. Now, this brings us, as a contrast continues, it takes us to verse 16. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. The gift's nothing like that. It's far more wonderful through the one who sinned. The gift is not like that which came from him. Again, with the one who sinned, Adam, we just can't calculate, we can't grasp totally the impact of Adam's choice. Through the one who sinned, for on the one hand, judgment came. It arose. The judgment of God. You know, God's judgment is, you know, we in our world, it seems like we always go to extremes. And so we say, well, and of course there's a whole movement, you know, focused only on God is love, which we know God is love. Absolutely. God so loved the world. But they want to erase the concept that God is just. God is both. And in his judgment and in his justice, he had to do that which was right from a holy God's vantage. And so therefore we have judgment. And Adam in his choice brought judgment upon those who reject his offer of grace. And of course, that's one reason why we so want to share Christ. That we so want people to know what Christ has done for them so they don't have to endure judgment. God loved the world. He's paid for the sin of the world. He doesn't want people to go to judgment. But this is the result. This is how it came about. We move on to 16. From one transgression resulting in condemnation. Now this is reflective of the verse in verse 18. If you drop your eyes down there. So then through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men. Condemnation. The pronouncement of it. And one states the far-reaching consequences issuing from it. You know, again, we think, well, that's just over the top. But for a holy God, condemnation is consistent with holiness. God made a way so that men would not have to be condemned. But when men refuse the way, when they refuse the Lord Jesus, this is the option. In fact, this is the road we all were on. This is a line we were all in. We were in the line of condemnation. We were all in that line until, as the Spirit of God worked upon us, we were convicted of our sin, we sensed our need for the Lord Jesus, and if we made that choice where we trusted in the Lord Jesus, we moved from that line to the line of the Lord Jesus where grace abounds. Wonderful, wonderful. But you have to make that choice. And the provision is there. But the sad thing of condemnation, of course, again, it should stir our hearts to love those who are not yet saved. obviously I know you pray for lost people. You pray for them. We're praying, you know, some of you have mentioned family members and friends. May God just bring about a great revival in our connections. In our connections. You know, it's a wonderful thing. People walk in the door on a Sunday morning, and people walk in the door on Awana night. People walk in the door on Friday night, and they have the option to hear that they don't have to experience the condemnation. It's a wonderful thing. May we continue to share that truth. But on the other hand, this is the contrast, going back to our verse 16. But on the other hand, the free gift, in this contrast, the free gift from the many transgressions resulted in justification. That's interesting. There was one transgression by Adam, and then it resulted in many transgressions because of the impact of it. But Christ's one work provided provision for deliverance. There are many transgressions. Isn't it interesting how sin, it's like you add water and it grows, it expands. it just goes whacked. It's like dandelions. Multitude of transgressions resulting in the one gift dealing with the many transgressions, and the many transgressions results in justification, being declared right by God, having a righteous status. I think that, isn't that just an awesome thing when you think, when you trust Christ, you don't have to be nervous how God views you. Now, of course, we confess, we do mess up on a daily basis. We confess our sins. But positionally, we are righteous as right. We stand in the righteousness of God because of Christ. We stand in that perfect position. God will never dump you out of his family. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, we may mess up, but in family forgiveness, you'll be forgiven, right? But we're already forgiven positionally. It's all cleared. If we pass away tonight and you've trusted Christ, you're standing in the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of God through Christ. You're in great shape. You're in great shape. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And we got a great place to pass through too, because we stand in the righteousness of God. Contrast again, resulting consequences of one transgression in contrast to the resulting consequence of the gift that deals with our many transgressions is justification. Justification. Grace abounds over the many sins we have. I was thinking about, you know, I mentioned this several times tonight and this morning, but I know the theories about, you know, what we're doing to our planet, and there are more and more people that think, well, you know, you just let dandelions, maybe you're one of those people, I'm not trying to get in a political role, think, well, you just let dandelions grow. That's good for the, I'm not sure why, but that's good for the planet. I was driving down one day, and this field of dandelions, it was yellow, 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 and my little granddaughter, she was riding in the back. She says, oh, I said some kind of a little off-the-cuff comment about dandelions. She says, oh, I like them so much. They're so beautiful, right? Yeah, you wait till they head out, right? Okay, anyway. Think of all the dandelions. I mean, you could look at, you know, people who love dandelions or whatever. You look at their, and of course, I'm always thinking about they love dandelions and the dandelions love my lawn. But anyway, think of all the dandelions you've seen in your life. You know what? We have a lot more sins in our life than we've ever seen dandelions. But God paid the price to forgive all the sins. All the sins. Totally covered. The many transgressions. Isn't that amazing? Where could you get a better deal than this if you were just a practical dealer, right? There's no better deal on the planet. All our crummy mess-ups, our sins, our ugliness, all that can be forgiven. We can be justified because what Christ has accomplished. Much more, the grace of God. Notice verse 17. For if by the transgression of the one, again, Paul just highlights this. He's trying to set up this contrast between Adam and Christ, the two heads. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one. Death reigned. You know, we talked this morning about death. It reigned. It's a very strong word, reigned. As an absolute tyrant. Death reigned as a tyrant. And we know that, right? All we have to do, if you question this comment, is go to the closest cemetery. Death reigns. And we think of, some people, they're healthier, they live longer, but everybody that has lived before us has gone on. Death conquered. Physical death rules. And all goes back to this one Adam, Adam's sin. By the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one. The reign of death, the terror of that reign. But much more, verse 17, much more those who received the abundance of grace. Isn't that a fantastic phrase? Once, much more. I just love that, much more. The reign of death, yes, awful, heartbreaking. You just think of, I read of one father, and I you've heard the statement, no parent should have to see their child die before they do. And I thought, that's so true. There was one father, and I was reading his story, and his son, apparently was a little son, and his wife couldn't go with him. He had to go to the mortuary, and so he was there just in a daze. I can't imagine. But he finally got there, and he stood in the room at where the little coffin was over there, and he couldn't even go over there for the longest time. And he talked about, he had apparently been in a very athletic person. He had achieved a lot. He apparently was not only had all these trophies and academic awards and accomplishments in the business world. He had it all, from a human standpoint. He said, I would have traded everything. And he said, this is the one hurdle I could not go over. And he said, my whole life collapsed. You know what? If I was that dad, I would be in the same zone. I think, I can't believe this. Sin is a terrible tyrant, but God is a gracious God. And through Christ, death has been defeated. Think of all the family members who we've lost. We've lost them physically, but if they knew the Lord Jesus, we have not lost them spiritually. I remember going into the mortuary. Dad had, part of the story. I went back home, and Dad had a brain tumor, and he'd been in the hospital, and I went home, and then he kind of got back, and then I went back to, this one in Nova Scotia, and then my brother called and said Dad passed away. So I remember going with Mom and my brother and going into the mortuary and going and seeing Dad, as he was there laid out in the coffin. But, it was totally different for me than for so many, because I knew Dad is with the Lord. I knew that. And, that just changes everything, doesn't it? It changes everything. Yes, you grieve, and my mother grieved. She loved my dad. But she knew he was with the Lord. You see, that's the difference. Yes, my dad was buried, but we have Resurrection Day coming, right? The victory over death, the victory over death, the reign, the king, that is so, but through grace, the abundance of grace, we receive the abundance of grace, the overflowing fullness of grace, and the gift of righteousness, as we've already said. And this is a wonderful phrase, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. We will reign in life. Now, just as death reigns, the believer can reign. This is a wonderful thing. One says of this, it will reign, it can be interpreted as expressing the certainty and security of the reign in life. Now, we know eternal life means that we will be in eternity with our Heavenly Father. Who could grasp the essence of eternity? But life does not just start when I enter heaven. Life starts now. I have life. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. We have life now. Now, because we still have a flesh, it doesn't express itself as much as we want it to or as much as God wants it to. But we have life right now as believers. And so part of this passage, and I think it's moving this way, and Paul is trying to prepare us for this, is in the reign of life, part of that is that we can enjoy, we can begin to participate, we can grow in our spiritual lives and enjoy the abundance of grace, not only for the future, but for the present. And just think of this verse, and Lord willing, in the future we'll deal with Romans 6:4. But notice this passage. Verse 4, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death. That's not water baptism, that's spirit baptism. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. We have the privilege as believers, as we understand this more and more, and Paul teaches us what this is all about, we have the privilege to reign in life, not to be dominant over other people, but to enjoy the fullness of life, to enjoy victory in life, to be able to say no to sin, which is so destructive, even in our Christian life, even though we've been forgiven of all our sin, if we cave in and capitulate to our sin pressure from our sin nature, you know, we mess up our own life. Dear, dear Christians that we love have messed up their lives, right? And we grieve for them. We pray for them. But they don't have to stay there. And we all have our issues, and that's why we need to keep growing. But we have plugged into life, and as we grow in that, as we mature in that, as we learn how to walk in that, we get to enjoy more and more the abundance of what we call a victorious life. We can enjoy what God has provided. And that's what Paul is beginning to talk. He's pointing the arrow to what he's going to talk about in 6 and 7 and 8. But the reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And you notice the one, again, the one man Adam, the one man Jesus Christ. The contrast is so stark. And Jesus gets all the credit, all the glory. Just as we were this morning, exalting, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus. It's so right. It's so right to rejoice in him. He is so awesome. We rejoice in him. We praise him. We exalt him because he's made this all possible. To move from the fatality of the transgression to the abundance of grace. And we move on, and when we eventually get, Lord willing, to Romans 8:32, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Isn't that great? We overwhelmingly conquer, even no matter what life throws at us, because of God's grace. God's grace. The contrast is stark. Adam's transgression, Christ's grace, Christ's gift. As we said, there are two lines people are lined up in. You ever been in one line, and let's say you're at the airport or somewhere, and you're standing in line, and finally it's your turn, you get to the counter, and they say, this happened to me recently, sorry, you're in the wrong line. You got to be kidding. I've been standing in this thing, right? You're in the wrong line. You know what? There's a lot of people in the wrong line. Think of this. Think of these options. This is the two line options. Death, grace. Condemnation, justification. The reign of death, the reign of life. Which line are you in? I think I know. I would imagine everyone here tonight is in the line of the reign of life instead of the reign of death. But just as I said a moment ago, and I imagine this is the heart for all of us right here, may we introduce people from this line of death to this line of life. I thought to myself, might not even be a bad question if you're talking to somebody, what line are you standing in? Maybe they say, what are you talking about? Then you can tell them. What line are you standing in? May God help us. Help us point people to the line of life. Let's pray. God, we're here and we just want to praise you for your amazing grace. We thank you for your awesome Son. We just thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for the day when we realized we were in the wrong line. And by your grace, we made a transfer. We moved over. We thank you. And Father, if someone here is not changed from being in the wrong line to the right line, may tonight be that night where they put their trust in Jesus, in him alone, for the life that he can give. And Father, we just pray, give us a greater burden for those who don't know the Lord Jesus. Give us a hunger. I pray for our neighbors. I know we all have neighbors who do not know you, who are in the wrong spot. We pray for their salvation. Give us opportunities, open doors. Give us the privilege to share with them how they can move to the right line, the line of the Lord Jesus, the line of life. God, help us in this. May we be a lighthouse, and may we point them to the Lord Jesus and his life. In his name we pray. Amen.